And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, I'm talking about Alabama. Man, yeah. I mean, to say this show goes way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, before I go any further, I got to remind you guys again about our newest sponsor, Inspire Advisors. Inspire Advisors. Look, this is a big deal, y'all. I'm going to tell you about something big here, and then I'm going to give you something free. You ready? So in the whole vein of the fact that this is a crazy world, here you are working hard to plan for your future, right? And also stand up for your beliefs, because that's the kind of audience we have. What if you found out, though, that in the middle of doing all that, that your investments were going to things that are absolutely contrary to what you say you believe in? Well, maybe it's time for you to meet Paul Breyer and his team of PhDs and financial experts at Inspire Advisors. Look, y'all, I'm talking about financial planning that considers who you are and what you believe in. These are like solid local experts using biblically responsible investing techniques, data-driven strategies to maximize your return. And they're doing it in a way that has a real impact on your bottom line and the world in which we live. So this is what I call financial freedom. Here's the free thing. You ready? You might want to check and see what's in your portfolio. You might not be pleased. So how about you go get a free impact report at their website, www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's Inspire Advisors at www.moneypatternwealth.com. Free impact report. You can also, by the way, find them on our website, rightsideradio.org. We list all our sponsors on the sponsors tab. And there's a just click on their logo and go right to their website. Inspire Advisors at moneypatternwealth.com. This is conservative, godly, it's balance, it's financial freedom. I'd say check them out. All right. I am in towards the end of the show here, but I got some text messages that I got to jump on in on. Got a brand new texter in the line. Tell us who you are and where you're from. Says, hooray for Louisiana, the Ten Commandments. How long will this take in Alabama? We're going to be behind the power curve on this one, but we'll get there only because I think we've been burned in the past because of the Roy Moore stuff. We got a sort of a bad taste in our mouth when it comes to posting the Ten Commandments, which we shouldn't have, but it's still there. Anyway, he said, ask why crime is higher when kids don't learn the respect for right order and decency in the absence of this ethical foundation of all society. All right, well, come on in and tell us who your name is, what your name is, and where you're from. We'll add you to the list. JT Lacey Springs says, when the farmer hater quits eating, quits wearing anything cotton, quits buying anything with soybean insulation, and starts surviving on tree bark and grass, then you can complain about farmers. Rap, you have been called out, man. Steve from Madison, maybe you can explain to the listeners what Trump did before the pandemic to keep inflation low and what Biden did after the pandemic that made inflation explode. That's a whole dipper, dude. But I'm going to tell you right now, I could. And I have before. It's absolutely contrary to economics 101, the way in which the Biden administration overregulates the economy or the economic generators, floods the economy with free money, and then also limits production capability. So now you have more money, less goods, which creates inflation, which creates hyperinflation. And then gerrymanders the interest rates, trying to bring interest rates down. And it just, all said and done, Biden is a wrecking ball on the economy. And it's from a variety of different angles. Trump did just the opposite. Trump generated tax cuts to free up capital so that people could put people back to work. Trump did other things like made sure we were energy independent, which drove the cost of energy down, which then has the trickle-down effect of having good impacts on things like farming and driving around and the shipping of goods and all that. Trump also got our trade relations into place where they were in a much better state so that parts we needed from overseas came here at a cheaper price, and then we exported out and made people money. All said and done, Trump was a businessman, and he acted like one in the White House, and it worked. James from St. Clair County says, if you're going to tell you right now, post the Ten Commandments, then when are y'all going to remember the Fourth Commandment? Okay. I don't know what you're saying to me right now, James, because you're voice texting or something and it's not working, but try again, man. Chris from Huntsville is the brand new texter. So plug that in if you don't mind, brother. Oh, you already did?
I did.
Okay, great. You can change the acronym HSV to Huntsville, though, because he's not Chris HSV. He's Chris Huntsville.
Gotcha.
Dylan from Athens says, where do we go here? He says, I get to enjoy the show every day of the week unless it's raining. And he shows, oh, awesome. Do you see that?
Awesome picture of him in his tractor.
Yeah, yeah, that's very cool.
It's pretty cool.
The view he gets. Man, I love your office. Just saying. I'm going to come to work with you. Brad from Laredo, Tennessee says, the one thing I hear most out of Democrats is it's not the government. It's not the producers. It's the middleman. Somehow they think that the middleman, whoever that may be, is sticking it to the average customer. Government policies don't even enter their brain when it comes to the thought of why they pay so much for things. Yeah, okay. Tell you what. Go find me the name of that middleman and tell me how that worked out. Well, it's the shipping and receivers who are making things more expensive. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not the middleman. It's not the business development guy who buys the goods they put into the supermarket. It's not. It's the entire economy being just ransacked by the Biden administration's whole of government approach. Jerry from Decatur says the war on food ultimately ends up on being the war for food. War for food. Oh, wow. Let me read that again. The war on food ultimately ends up war for food. Man. Okay. Airborne, Jerry. That's a bumper sticker. You know what? That's absolutely a bumper sticker. The war on food becomes the war for food. Okay. Yeah. That's right. In the zombie apocalypse, you're fighting over that Twinkie. Let me just tell you right now. Just saying. All right, I tell you what, I'm gonna unpack a little. You guys want to text in or call in? You're welcome to it. We got a little bit more time for that. But let me just jump on this third dipper that I was gonna touch on. I don't know that I can do it true justice, but I think that one of the things that is most disturbing about Biden foreign policy is that there's not any. Biden foreign policy is, I don't know, what do you want to do today? I'm going to stick your finger in the air. Where's the waves of political sentiment? I don't know. What are we going to do? I don't know. I really don't know that there is a cohesive plan for foreign policy in the Biden administration. It is the most happenstance, hit and miss, straddle the fence. Like if we look back and we find the Bush doctrine, you know, or if we find like Trump, go ahead and say it. You may not like the word MAGA, but it means make America great again. He had an America first policy. I don't know what Biden's policy could be summed up as except jackassery. So in the future, when the history books are written and they look back and go, and then there was the Biden doctrine, which is commonly referred to as jackassery. I mean, that's where I see it. But right now, what he's doing with Israel is a classic example. Israel has been one of our longstanding allies for decades. 1948, the very first nation to recognize Israel sovereignty as a nation was the United States. And oh, by the way, the very first state within the first nation was Alabama. We recognized Israel as a state even before the U.S. recognized them overall as a nation. We were first in line, and I'm proud of that. And they have been an ally, and we have been their ally ever since. And I would say that the relationship right now between the United States and Israel is the most tense it has ever been. We are watching right now the unraveling of a longstanding good relationship. So much so, and I've never seen this before, so much so that Bibi Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, actually issued a video the other day where he called out the president of the United States and chided the Biden administration for what he said was a policy now of slow rolling arms shipments to Israel. He basically said that what is happening right now is considered to be an infringement upon their relationship. Netanyahu publicly claimed the Biden administration was, quote, withholding weapons in a video that he posted to Twitter on Tuesday, claiming that Secretary of State Antony Blinken assured me the administration was working day and night to remove these bottlenecks. But again, he says they're not. And now we've got a meeting that was scheduled between Netanyahu and U.S. diplomats has been canceled. In diplomatic speak, this is earth-shattering. This is the equivalent of you got put in the friend zone when you were asking a girl to the prom. You know what I'm saying? This is going from being a hot and heavy relationship to you're just now in the friend zone. Maybe we can get it back together. Do you like me? Check yes, check no. That's where we are with Israel right now. CNN has the piece that I'm looking at in my hands. U.S. envoy Amos Hochstein told Israeli Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu that his public comments this week that the U.S. is withholding weapons and ammunition to Israel were unproductive and, more importantly, completely untrue. Well, if they were untrue, why would he say it in the middle of a war? Meanwhile, Zelensky can blink and blow kisses and gets more money. But Israel, our ally, is literally having to publicly shame the President of the United States for not following through on its promises. In the meantime, here's the other piece of this. All right, picture the map. I mean, it's almost as if you pictured Israel like the state of Alabama. On the northern edge, we have Tennessee. Picture their map. The northern edge is Lebanon. To the west portion is a sliver called Gaza, which is where they're fighting Hamas right now. To the east, they have a thing called the West Bank, which is the west bank of the Jordan River. But that West Bank is considered part of Palestine, but it's like it's split. Israel sits in the middle between the two. The West Bank is tenuous, but roughly at peace. Gaza is being turned into a parking lot right now as they go to war with Hamas. And I'm going to come back to that in a minute. But what's happening on the northern border, where Hezbollah is really ramping up, some are concerned right now that we are looking at the potential for a much broader scale fight. Now, Hezbollah and Hamas are aligned. They're both Iranian proxies. Hezbollah is far more dangerous, far greater armed. Hamas is like the thugs, and Hezbollah is like the mafia. All right? You got one that's a street thug, and you got the other that's an organized crime. Hezbollah is a big deal. Now, do I think Israel can take them? Yeah, I do. But I think that Israel's in a bad spot right now because they're committing massive resources and foreign aid into the fight in Hamas with Hamas in Gaza. Hezbollah opened up with a major rocket barrage this week. Hezbollah take its orders from Iran. Now, wait a minute, Phil. I thought they were in Lebanon. They are. Hezbollah is so strong that there are portions of the country that the Lebanese government doesn't even go into. Hezbollah is like a nation within a nation. They are a de facto ruling party in certain portions of that country. They control territory, they control whole towns, they control border regions, and they control the people in certain parts of Lebanon. Lebanon has no control over Hezbollah. In fact, I would say that in probably many ways they're in bed together, but Hezbollah is considered to be a nation within a nation in Lebanon. And they have ramped up. Story here on the AP. Ooh. Story here on the AP says that Lebanon's Hezbollah has new weapons and intelligence capabilities. They could help it target more critical positions deeper inside of Israel. And we're looking at the potential for a months-long cross-border conflict ramping up right now. It was a threat that was issued just this week. As I go to break, I'll tell you. Hezbollah's top commander says we have new weapons. And I won't say what they are. But he says they intend to use them and they have 100,000 fighters ready to go to war. It's a big deal. And it's Israel fighting it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio.